It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
Woo!
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show. Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
All right, welcome into another one. It's the Chris Van Vliet Show. Thank you for giving this a listen. Whether this is your first download or it's your 27th download. Yeah, this is episode number 27. Not bad for a podcast that just turned 7 weeks old yesterday. We've been pumping these out like crazy, and you guys have been eating them up. Just eating them up. Something like that, at least. Just last week, I was thanking you guys for 189 reviews that we had on Apple Podcasts, which was, you know, pretty awesome, I thought. We're now up to 237 reviews at last count. I feel like that's a big uptick in just a week. So thank you for that. That's awesome. And please keep those coming in. Please keep the reviews coming in. You honestly don't understand how important those are to helping the ranking on Apple Podcasts. And also, just personally, how much it means to me for you guys to be enjoying the same thing that I'm enjoying. I really appreciate that. Look, I don't have a Patreon. All of my content is completely free. I think the least you could do is take 27 seconds to leave a 5-star review on here. And maybe just a little subscribe on YouTube. That wouldn't hurt either. I'd appreciate that. I'm going to keep reading one review on every episode to say thank you, and also for your chance to get a shout out for free. I mean, once again, I'm not on Patreon. All my content's free. The shout outs are free, everything. So it's your way to be part of the show. And, I mean, I'd love for you to be part of the show, like Corey C.W., who writes, "Good show. Great show. Upbeat and informative. Kind of sounds like Ryan Seacrest." That's the whole review. Thank you, Corey. Seacrest. All right. Well, I guess, you know, when it comes to broadcasting, Seacrest is like the absolute best. So, you know, you know what? Maybe I could be the Ryan Seacrest of wrestling. I like that. CVV, the Seacrest of wrestling. Well, this one with Ethan Page is a lot of fun. I've known him almost as long as he's been wrestling. I watched him work a lot of independent wrestling shows in my hometown, Toronto, when I lived there. I was even a ring announcer for some of his matches a few times, like 2008, 2009-ish. This is a great chat if you're a creator, too. Like, if you're looking to start a YouTube channel or a podcast, we've got a lot of tips, a lot of little nuggets in here that you can pick out. But first, the Chris Van Vliet Show is brought to you by Green Roads, and they just have the best CBD products, hands down. And you hear a lot about CBD products, but they're not all created equal. And a lot of companies popped up over the last little while trying to cash in on the CBD boom, but they've got low-quality formulas. Unfortunately, some of them don't actually even have CBD in them. They just say it on the label, but don't actually have anything in them. Green Roads is a pharmacist-founded company dedicated to improving the lives of people who take it. I take it. It's really helped me a lot with my focus, my recovery after the gym. A couple drops of the CBD oil under your tongue, and it just works. People are like, what does it feel like? Well, it doesn't really feel like anything. It's like, that's like saying, what does aspirin feel like? What does Tylenol feel like? I don't know. Well, 20 minutes after you take it, you're like, oh, yeah, I don't have a headache anymore. It's the same type of thing here. The Relax gummies are also really good, and they taste good too, I think, which is a really important thing. Use my code Chris15 to get 15% off at greenroadsworld.com. That's Chris15 for 15% off at greenroadsworld.com. The CVV show also brought to you by the Pro Podcasting Pack that I'm using from Samson Technologies to sound this good. I think that it's important. If you want to be taken professionally, if you want to be taken seriously, you got to sound seriously good. And Samson Technologies will help you out for just a fraction of what some of those other companies will charge. Go to samsontech.com. You can see all their lineups there. And people ask me all the time, where do you get your mics from? Well, there's your answer. Samsontech.com. They're the mics that make us sound so good. Now, Ethan Page is one half of the current Impact Wrestling Tag Team Champions, along with fellow Canadian Josh Alexander. They call themselves the North. We talk about how Ethan grew up watching TNA, and I don't know how, somehow TNA has only ever had one 5-star match in the history of TNA. Crazy, right? Can you guess which one it is? We get into it. I couldn't guess it. I was so close, though. We also talk about the ever-changing landscape of wrestling right now and how being a father for Ethan has changed his life, both in and out of the ring. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's All Ego, Ethan Page. It's very good to see you.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
As good as it was when you said this when you walked in?
What? No. We just started the video. This is it. Yeah. And then it appears. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm really proud of you because I've been following your career. I've known you as a friend since almost the start of your career.
Yeah.
And here you are now, an Impact champion.
In LA. I feel so famous, by the way. Oh, where did you guys do your interview? In Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah. Although if we look out the window here, we're like next to the airport.
Yeah, pretty much.
I took an airport. I just landed. I took a 6 a.m. flight from Miami, which is 3 a.m. here in L.A.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I landed, took an airport shuttle to see you, and here we are. We're doing it.
Thanks.
Bring the title up here.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to hold it?
Can I?
Yeah, yeah, you can.
Oh, my gosh. The whole interview?
I mean, if it's pretty heavy, so you can hold it the whole time if you want.
No, this is heavy, but this is awesome.
Thanks.
Congratulations.
Here, I'll hold it.
You and Josh Alexander.
Sit this here.
So okay, yeah.
Can, you know, look at it and stuff.
Can see it the whole time there.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does that mean to you?
A lot.
Yeah.
To me, it means something different than everybody else, I think.
Why is that?
Because, like, I guess in a short form, TNA was my WCW because of my age,
sure.
If that makes sense.
Of
so, like, that,
makes that
sense. Was, like, my alternative, which got me into, like, the Ring of Honors and stuff like that. Which got me into becoming a wrestler.
Yeah.
So, like, TNA meant a lot to me as a fan. So, I am a TNA tag champ right now. At least in my mind. So, yeah, it means a lot.
No, in your mind, I mean, that's all that really matters.
Agreed, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when you go through airport security with that, they're like, whoa.
I have been so lucky. It's not been pulled out. No one said anything to me. The one time someone ever said anything, it was to another agent. So, like, it's going through the scanner. One guy's like, what the hell is that? And the other guy's like, it's a wrestling belt. I was like, wait, are they going to ask me for a pick or something? No, they just let it go through. And I'm just like standing there like a dummy waiting. Yes, that's my replica title in my bag that I'm checking.
Is there two titles here?
Because just this one. And then Josh is somewhere in here.
Josh,
wait, do you want to be the tag champ?
What?
Yeah, yeah, just hold this. I'll see if
gosh.
I can find one. Just don't tell
wow.
him.
Okay. I will. We're going to keep rolling during this.
He's gotta be here somewhere.
So the fans can only hear me talking right now. So basically you're sharing. There it is. There it is. You're sharing a room with your tag team partner.
Yes, because we're an actual tag team. We like each other in real life.
Oh, there are tag teams that don't? Okay, I'll put it.
We don't talk about here. That. Oh, there you go.
Hold on.
This is cool, right? Impact Tag Champs doing a little interview.
This is very cool. Yeah. So people would have seen this on your vlog.
Yeah. Hey,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah. We're gonna plug the crap out of that.
Well, let's also film for it
okay.
if we can. Yeah.
Wow. That's never happened before in one of these videos.
Then, it's like Inception a little bit.
Yeah.
Sorry. We're in the middle of this interview right now.
Yeah. Wow.
Josh Alexander not here.
So
Chris, introduce yourself.
Chris Van Vliet, fellow Canadian, so I can be a tag team champion. And people are watching it here and there. I will put a link below, everyone, so you can both check out this video and this video.
Heck yeah.
And you can also subscribe to Ethan Page's channel. I don't know which camera to look at here. But yes, also subscribe to me and Ethan.
Yeah.
The link will be below.
All right, I'm done. That's it. That's all I got to do. My job's easy.
Wow. Well, see ya. All right, we're still going here. I will put this down. I feel like this is a big responsibility if I hold this the whole time.
Sure. You can lay it on the bed if you
okay.
want. Nice and gentle.
I will. It'll be next to us the whole time here.
Perfect. I'm not going to drop mine. I want people to know.
Who were the people you really looked up to in Impact Wrestling growing up?
Oh, man. Well, like, I started watching just after they finished their, like, weekly pay-per-views. And they went to, like, their big three-hour pay-per-views.
Oh, OG.
So, like, the Jeff Hardys, the Christian Cages, then obviously when Kurt Angle came. But, like, Abyss was always one of my favorites, like, as an original character. I always wanted to see him go on and wrestle guys like Kane and The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And he was always having crazy matches. And they were doing things that, like, the WWE at the time wasn't doing, like, with the thumbtacks and the barbed wire and stuff like that. Like, they would go a little, you know, step farther.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I had that bloodlust, but like I was a huge fan of Abyss.
But it was missing because ECW had that.
Yep.
Then ECW disappeared.
Well, a lot of those guys even ended up in TNA. So yeah, that influence was there. It's still here now.
Yeah.
Like, you've got Tommy Dreamer on our roster, RVD, Rhino just joined us. We just had Sabu, which I beat. so, like, I think that'll be around forever. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, that was the draw-in for me. And then you had the guys like AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn was still in there kicking ass. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was a massive AJ Styles fan.
Yeah.
Like, I remember buying the DVDs 06, 07, his matches with Christopher Daniels and Samoa Joe. Like, I was a bigger TNA fan at that time than I was a WWE fan because I thought their in-ring product was so
right.
much better.
Okay, so I'm about to blow your mind then. Do you know there's only one five-star match in the history of TNA?
No
Does
way.
Does that blow your mind?
What?
That's bogus.
Hold on. So before
this
you
is
tell
fixed.
Me.
The fix is in for TNA wow. and Impact Wrestling.
Before you tell me, I'll try to guess. You guys can try to guess as well. Does it involve AJ Styles?
Yes.
Okay. Is it... There's a match I absolutely love there. Was it AJ Daniels 30-minute Ironman?
It was not that. But
that match was so good.
That match is in the top, like, 10 of all time
okay.
in TNA.
That's my favorite TNA match.
Only one match hit 5 stars.
Wow. AJ Kurt?
Nope. Okay. I'll give you one more guess.
Okay.
One more guess. Go ahead. And then I'll lay it on you.
AJ and Joe?
Nope.
What?
You're close. AJ versus Joe versus Daniels.
Oh, that match is incredible.
Yeah.
That's
incredible.
Yeah, that's my favorite TNA match of
but
all time.
All those matches you named were great.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing if they were on another show, it would have been 5 stars.
If they were in the Tokyo Dome.
Oh, no. Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll say that. Yeah.
No, I think the thing is, it was also a product of that era, too. And I don't mean anything against TNA or Impact. It's just at that time, matches weren't getting the 5-star ratings
no,
that they're
too,
getting
and
now.
Like, it's insane, too, because like, I do a weekly show on Twitch for Impact where we watch old TNA stuff. So like, I'll ask the producer like some random questions and it'll just spark conversation. That's how we found out that there's only been one 5-star match. So the North... tag team champs are going to go out of our way to try and change that.
Wow.
yeah. So that's our goal now because we got the belts.
Yeah.
So that's out of the way.
Who could you have that 5-star match with?
Honestly, right now on the roster, probably if we had a nice little program, we could tell some good stories.
Yeah.
Rich Swann and Willie Mack.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, they're both so talented.
Yeah.
So talented.
Yeah. And they're big characters too, so like you can have the drama, the emotion, then there's the athleticism,
yeah,
and there's the competition, and you have the titles. So I don't know, I think it would be a good mix. We could get close to 5 or hit that 5.
I don't know. AJ, Joe, and Daniels. I mean,
yeah, good luck.
That's,
I know,
that's setting the bar real high.
Well,
there.
I mean, the bar also keeps going higher and higher, and then there's a big gap now because you can go to 7.5 apparently. So, I mean, getting to 5 is kind of just not even cool anymore.
Yeah, it's like a 3.5 star match of the old days.
Yeah, so technically, us saying we're shooting for the second only Impact 5-star match isn't really that big of a deal anymore.
I'm actually embarrassed I didn't guess that match because
you should be. I thought you were gonna get it right away.
Well, I love that Iron Man match,
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what actually started the convo was there's a tag match. It was Motor City Machine Guns against the Young Bucks, or Generation Me.
Yeah.
And it got like 4.25, I guess. Then there was another tag match that happened way earlier in TNA with Team Canada and somebody else, and it got like 4.5. We watched them back to back. The other one was way better, the Machine Guns match.
Yeah.
Way more, like, well thought out and, like, delivered, and, like, the crowd was red hot. We're like, who's, like, judging these matches on, like, what curve? Like, I don't know. I guess it's, like, what era of wrestling it is or what year it is.
Yeah.
And what you're comparing it to.
It's very subjective.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Right. It's like, you know, this movie won the Oscar this year, but if it came out last year, you know, maybe it wouldn't have won.
Yeah, exactly.
It's exactly like
that. It's very strange. Anyways, I don't like star ratings. I think they're stupid. If you buy a ticket and you enjoy the show, that's all I care about.
As a Canadian member of a Canadian tag team,
yeah,
who's your favorite Canadian tag team? And obviously,
my favorite Canadian tag team
Heart Foundation's probably the easy answer.
No. I would say Edge and Christian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because there's also the Canadian gimmicked tag teams, like, you know, like the North.
Yeah, sure.
Like the Un-Americans. Canada. Remember the Un-Americans?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was so weird. That was very short-lived, too.
It was a Test, and I can't even remember everybody.
Yeah, I can't remember either. I know Test was in it, though.
But it was – I felt kind of bad because it was like was basically the Americans being like, we're super patriotic, and these guys are the bad guys.
Yeah. Why? Why are we the bad guys? I don't understand.
Well, it's just cheap heat.
Yeah. It's cheap.
Yeah.
That's it.
Team Canada, you know, remember Petey Williams would make people stand for the national anthem?
Hell yeah.
It's just cheap heat. Yeah. It's great, though.
It's the thing that blew us away, so we went to film television in Windsor, and we had won the tag title, so we go, and everyone's like, oh, you guys are going to go out there. They're going to, like, embrace you. Like, the Canadians are bringing the gold home. And I just turn and I go, no, they're not. They're going to hate us. And they're like, no, they won't. We go out. We put our hands in the air. They start booing us. And to me, it's, like, the greatest victory of all time. Because we get to the back, and D'Lo Brown's, like, our producer and agent. Yeah. He just goes, I can't believe Canadians got booed in Canada. I'm like, eh. That means we're doing our job.
You love being a heel.
I do. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Do you think you've become less all ego as you've gotten a little bit older?
Yeah, and I think it's just that, I don't know, I react a little different to the, like, my surroundings the older I get. Yeah. I don't know if it's because I have a kid now or, like, I'm married, but, I'll use MJF because he'll love this. He is, can I swear on this?
Sure.
The biggest piece of shit, but, like, at the table with kids, and it just, like, hurts my soul. And I'm like, I don't care how much the promoter's paying me. If I'm a bad guy, that's fine. I'll do my job. But I will not go out of my way to, like, upset people. Yeah. Because I know that's, like, the paying audience. MJF, though, what a scumbag.
Well, that's just who Max is.
Yeah, I know. You don't have to tell me.
I also know. Yeah. I sat in a hotel room just like this, and... Things happened.
Yeah, things happened.
Yeah.
He was probably just being himself.
Yeah, he was. But I feel like, you know, there's some sort of bravado that we all have, especially as men in our 20s. And then the closer you get to 30, I feel like it's just kind of like, yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah, what's the point?
I don't need to puff my chest out all the time.
That's where I'm at right now.
That's where you're at?
Yeah. And, like, that's also helped me, too, with, like, the YouTube page and, like, all that stuff is cool. Everyone's doing their thing. I'm just going to do my own thing. Like, I'm okay over here.
but you will carve out a niche for yourself.
I hope so.
You will.
Like, I don't know how, like, I'm not retiring, but I don't know how long wrestling is going to go, you know? So, like, I'm just trying to create something outside of, still inside the bubble, but, like, when I leave, I have my own thing.
Have you thought about, you know, whether it's 5, 10, 20 years from now, what you would do?
I want to become, like, a producer or an agent or a writer. Like, I would like to still be in wrestling in some capacity. I feel like my brain will last in wrestling longer than my body. So if I can start gearing towards that would be awesome.
Well, I mean, you're in with a company where they've taken a lot of their employees.
Yeah.
Impact's taken a lot of their employees, and now they're helping you guys make your matches.
And the VP, Scott D'Amore, he managed Team Canada.
It all comes right back around.
Oh, wait, wasn't that guy in the North, like, 15 years ago?
What are your goals, I guess immediate goals, and then long-term goals with your YouTube channel?
Oh, man. Honestly, I don't know. Like, I have, like, an obsessive personality, so, like, I try not to, like, think about it too much. Like, the minute you walked in, I was like, hey, how'd you get your YouTube page so big? It's just the way my brain works, and, like, I'm working 24/7.
Yeah.
I don't want to, like, put anything on the YouTube because it's so much work for, like, no reward right now, like, at all. And, like, the computer was so expensive, the camera. So I don't want anything to be like, if I don't hit this views or this subscribers, I'm out. I'm just going to do it for a full year and see how it grows and how it helps my career. And then at the end of the year, either way, my daughter will be able to watch all the videos and see, like, what I did from her being 1 year old to...
But I will say this. If I gave up on my YouTube channel after a year, we certainly wouldn't be sitting here.
Really?
Right now. Hell no.
Okay.
My channel's 8 years old now.
All right.
And it took me... 7.5 years to get 100,000 subscribers.
Really?
And this is a fact here. I hit 100,000 subscribers last August.
Okay.
And
congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. If I keep on I have 196,000 right now.
So you're going to crack another hundo.
In the next couple of weeks.
All right.
So it took me 7.5 years to get that first 100K and now a year to get the next.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind.
Okay.
That, like, sure, you won't be getting the progress you want in the first 6 months, year, 2 years, whatever. But just keep doing it.
Yeah, my manager, a.k.a. my wife, she also says the exact same thing.
And it's just so a phrase that I say all the time, I even put it on a T-shirt, is vague goals get vague results. So if you're saying, like, I don't know how many views I want to get, you're not really driving at something.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to make this like a seminar. Like
no,
a
no,
YouTube
I'm all
seminar.
I'm getting motivated right now.
But it's true. If you don't have something that you're looking at, you're just kind of going, oh, well, I guess that video was all right.
Yeah.
So I think you should say by December 31st, I want, I don't know, how many subscribers you have right now?
I want to get 10,000 views per vlog by the end of the year.
Okay, that's a big.
That's an actual goal.
That is a big goal.
But I didn't want to say it because now if I don't.
But it's out there, though. Now you have something to strive for. What about subscribers?
Let's make it happen. By the end of the year, I would like over 10,000.
Okay, and you're at how many right now?
I'm about to hit 5 soon.
Okay, well, you're going to hit 5 after this video comes out. Yeah, the link is below again. Everyone,
thanks.
Look, Ethan puts a lot more work into his videos than I do. You're editing stuff.
Thank you.
I'm sitting here and having a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and then we put it up, and I mean, it's a researched conversation, but it's just a free flowing conversation. You're putting like edits into this.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot of work.
And I don't think that's the hardest part. The hardest part is having a real life. And not like offending people that I'm with because,
yeah,
like people say things and do things behind closed doors that aren't bad but can be like twisted into something that is.
Yeah.
So, like,
just a little time out from our chat with Ethan Page because football season is here, people. It's time to start placing your bets for NFL and college football. Blue Wire, the podcast network that I'm with, is teaming up with sports information traders and legend John Price, one of the world's most successful sports bettors, so our listeners are given the chance to make more money on football this season. Go to sportsinformationtraders.com/blue and get the college football and NFL future plays and make up to 15 times your money for only a $99 investment. Last year, Sports Information Traders correctly predicted the Clemson Tigers to win the college football championship, making one client $110,000. The year before that, Kurt Pressley of Sports Information Traders made $1 million with a preseason wager saying that the Philadelphia Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl. John Price and the Sports Information Traders team can guide you on the best ways to make money on future bets and preseason football betting picks. You get all that for $99 and the opportunity to make 15 times your money. It is totally worth getting Sports Information Traders betting picks. Sports Information Traders has been featured in ESPN, Gambling911.com, Entrepreneur Magazine, and many more. And John Price has been successfully making money betting on sports for over 20 years. So make a big return for a small investment with Sports Information Traders Future Picks. Get started now by going to sportsinformationtraders.com/blue. Again, make sure you go to sportsinformationtraders.com/BLUE to have your chance at a 15-time return this football betting season.
I don't ever want anyone on the roster or that works for Impact to be like uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we can't do this because Ethan Page might pull his camera out.
Yeah.
So creating that and like not having that be an issue is really the hardest part.
Yeah.
While also like maintaining relationships with people, but getting the content.
Yeah.
So I've found over time people have been coming to me with like, come film this. Like, it'd be great for the vlog. And I'm like, oh, thank goodness. Like, this is like the way it's going now. So.
Well, I just interviewed the Young Bucks recently,
okay. And
they're still editing their own stuff and putting it up, like, despite being executive vice presidents. So, like, if they're able to do it, you know, I'm sure you can, too.
Yeah.
It's just, you're doing a great job at
Thanks,
it,
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
So what advice, because there's a lot of people that are watching this right now that are creators.
Yeah.
What advice have you learned since you started this that you would pass along to people?
If you like it, someone else will like it. And then that's where you just create the people that like the same stuff.
I mean, the internet's so hyper niche.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, you can dial it into not just wrestling, not just, like, you can dial it into a specific type of wrestling.
And still get thousands of people to watch.
Yes. Yeah. Which is, I mean, the world has 7 billion people.
I know. Well, like, so someone, like, kind of made, like, a snide comment to me. They're like, you know, only, like, 6,000 people watched that vlog. Like, what are you so excited about? And I was like, all right. Rent a building and put 6,000 people in it, and you stand at the front, and all of them are just going to watch whatever you want for 18 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's like a form of power, I think. Yeah. And like, not in a negative way, like in a positive way.
Yeah.
And like, that's also been like the force pushing the vlog, is trying to change people's perspective of Impact Wrestling.
Well, I mean, what do you think?
Or perception, sorry, yeah.
What do you think is the perception?
I don't know. I think it's mixed right now. And I think, I guess the lack of exposure we have with, like, our television station right now, I won't make you bring it up. I'll bring it up. I think that also, like, deters people from actually watching the show, which sucks.
But the product is very good.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think, like, our TV put up against anyone right now, check it out, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah, I interviewed Gail Kim a couple months ago. She said the same thing.
Yeah.
She actually said that Impact has better in-ring stuff than WWE stuff.
I would agree.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, and I think that there's a lot of people that are going, well, I haven't seen Impact in a while, and they're just basing it off of that.
Right. That's what I'm saying, is you should see it. And I think that's the hardest thing, is like, whatever everybody else did before the team we have now shouldn't affect the guys, because most of them are gone.
Yeah.
So why don't you see what the new crop is putting together? Because, like, we're doing our best, and it's really good, I think.
You know why else you should watch it? Because of this right here. What kind of voice was that?
As a pro wrestler voice.
Because of this thing right here. And for everyone listening on the podcast, that was holding up a championship title there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was it that approached you about signing with Impact?
It was either Sanjay, Abyss, or Scott D'Amore, or like a mix of all three.
But people you had worked with on the indies for a while.
Yeah, like, yeah. I've had a bunch of matches with Sanjay, and we became friends. So he was like my go-to to find out whether they were interested or not. And then Abyss, I ended up doing a couple indies with him. So like, he was familiar with my work.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew that I wouldn't embarrass him if he like kind of been like, yeah, you can sign that guy.
Yeah.
And then Scott, I don't know what took him so long, but he was the one that I needed to impress, yeah.
Yeah, you'd think a fellow Canadian would have your back.
Right?
Yeah.
Come on, man. What took you so long?
If we were to make a Canadian Mount Rushmore of wrestlers.
Oh, don't make me do this.
Yeah.
This someone is going to get me in a lot of trouble.
Someone asked me this the other day, and I was like,
What, with Canadians?
Yeah, just Canadians. Four Canadians.
Bret Hart.
Sure. Easy. It's hard. There's so many great ones.
It is very hard. Edge?
Okay. But I mean, then is Jericho on
right,
there?
Right, yeah,
Kid
right,
on
right.
There?
A Stu Hart?
Is Stu Hart on there?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is tough.
Yeah, this is the whole point of the
all
Mount Rushmore.
All Canadians? On mine, it would be Test, all four of them.
I mean, you could make an argument, despite what happened in his final 48 hours, for Chris Benoit.
Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there,
no, for sure.
There's a lot of great wrestling talent.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know who's Canadian. Like, I'm not even joking. Still to this day, I'll be doing some indie show, and they'll be like, "You're actually from Canada? I thought it was just part of your like character." I'm like, "Who would choose to do that?"
There are characters though from like Russia that aren't. Characters are from Russia, but they're not
okay. But
from
imagine
Russia.
Looking the way I look, just like a North American guy, like just normal dude. You know what's going to be a real big spin? I'm going to make myself look the exact same, but not from America, from Canada. Like, okay, sure.
There's an interesting angle though on branding yourself as being Canadian.
I think not even just branding. I'm very proud of like the city that I'm from, and I have no interest in moving. Like, for the rest of my life, because I travel so much and I love being home.
Yeah.
So that's been, I guess, the way I've branded it, is just being like, this is where I'm from and I'm really proud of it. So do not say I'm from Toronto. I'm not from Toronto. I'm from Hamilton, Ontario. And that's been my thing since I started.
Yeah. And people from Toronto go, oh, you're from Hamilton?
All the time. And that's also like a driving factor in why I do it. And because people just assume like, oh, Toronto, it's fine. We know where that is. Like, no, like I'm trying to like bring awareness to where my hometown is.
I'm not technically from Toronto, but I've lived in the United States now for 10 years, so I just tell people I'm from Toronto.
Yeah.
Actually from Pickering.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm on the other side of Toronto from you.
Yeah, a little farther. And I'd say I'm like 30 minutes from Toronto.
Yeah, and so am I.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're Hamilton's a much larger city.
Yeah, it's getting there.
You're halfway between Toronto and Niagara Falls.
Yeah, like right in the middle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I grew up driving to Niagara Falls to watch a lot of wrestling.
Yeah.
Neo Spirit Pro.
Yeah, that's where like Eric Young came from. Yeah, Sean Spears.
Yes. I interviewed Eric Young like 10 years ago, and I said, I watched the greatest indie match of all time. And he goes, oh, yeah, my match with Derek Wilde.
The ladder match?
See? Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because it's insane. That match is insane.
There's only clips of it because it happened like 12 years ago. Yeah. Maybe. There's only clips of it online.
They do a Code Red.
Oh, my God. That like, match.
Through a ladder is insane. It's
you
a
can
crazy
see
match.
In those clips. I'm in the background. I'm in like the third or fourth row towards the back. And I'm just like, the
it's
whole
awesome.
Time.
It's awesome. Yeah. Those guys went nuts.
Who were some of the people that you looked up to growing up?
Just in general or?
Well, what about wrestlers?
Well, The Rock.
Yeah, I know.
My favorite.
You get very jealous when I interview him.
Yeah. How does that happen? Make that happen for me.
Okay.
Get him on my vlog.
Sure.
All right, perfect. Yeah. Thank you for that promise.
Done.
He was big. Billy Gunn, Randy Savage, Val Venus. Like, these are all like character wrestlers, but like that's the guys that I grew up loving.
Yeah.
Razor Ramon.
But there's a big difference between liking, and there's no problem with it, but a big difference between liking The Rock and liking Val Venus.
You think so?
Don't you think so?
Nah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way.
To me, like as like a fan and like kid wrestler, they were all the same. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. they just all had their own characters and they all fit in like the puzzle of let's have a wrestling show.
Yeah.
So like I appreciated everybody.
Yeah.
And like there's no difference to me between Val Venus and The Rock. I mean, other than their salary and how many t-shirts they sold. But like to me, I was like, oh, they're both like super entertaining.
Yeah.
This is this weird stripper porn star guy. And my dad thought he was hilarious. He'd always give me the Hello Ladies voice and like slap me with a towel.
I bet you could do a Hello Ladies voice.
Are you trying to get me to do it?
Yeah.
Hello Ladies. This is great.
You know who's Canadian? Val Venus.
Exactly. Yeah. And I had to put one Canadian on the list. So and then like Razor Ramon, another guy, like big character guy.
Yeah.
And they were all like cool. Badass yeah. Billy Gunn too.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of helped Ethan Page like create this character because all of these guys outside of wrestling would be goofy as fuck. So it kind of taught me to just not care and just do whatever I think is funny or entertaining and just go out there and just be a jackass.
That's what I think is actually one of the greatest things that you have going for you.
Oh,
is,
thanks.
Like I watched you wrestle in South Florida like a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
At Ronin.
Ronin Pro, yeah.
And I think it was your first show there. So the audience maybe weren't as familiar with your work, but you just owned it.
Yeah, I don't care.
And like a minute in, they're like, I don't like that guy.
Yeah.
And it was perfect.
Yeah. And like that took me a very long time because like we're all like egomaniacs. Like we all want people to love us.
What do you think's been the biggest change for you? So you debuted in 2006. What's been the biggest change for you in independent wrestling since then?
That social media is king. It's kind of like taken over. I get also it's like a popularity barometer in a weird way.
Kind of.
And like it kind of lets people know like people care what this person has to say or what he's doing or like where he is, and also has really helped me draw my audience to events, which is helpful for promoters, but also helpful for like merchandise or even content now. Like I'm putting my fans in my vlogs. So it's pretty cool.
Well, think of how different it would have been 10, 15, 20 years ago. If you had new merch coming out, the only place people could really get it was at a show.
Yeah. Or you could like, you know, pay a couple hundred bucks to the local cable TV ad.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Colt Cabana kind of pushed in this new era of like self-promotion.
Yes. And like he was the first real like merch booth guy and like kind of putting a shop online and big part of starting Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And everyone else is reaping the benefits of
100%. So thank you, Colt Cabana.
Yeah, there it is. I'm actually going to be interviewing him in about a month.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm basically going to say, "Hey, every pro wrestler says thank you."
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And
well,
I
like
do
he just announced too like that he's gonna step away from the vlog or the podcast, and all it was just a flooding of pro wrestlers being like, "Thanks for the exposure, man." Because it's true.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. No, it's this world that we're talking into right now. These microphones, this camera—it's changed everything.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm glad that you're on the forefront of this with your vlog.
Am I? I feel late. I feel very late.
Well, like, to the party. I don't know how many other indie wrestlers or pro wrestlers are vlogging, like as much as you are. They might put out one or two things.
I know Sammy Guevara has a weekly one.
Okay. Obviously being the elite.
Yeah, being the elite. Puma King has one in Mexico.
Okay, so the point is there still are some people doing it.
There is some, but like, yeah, you're right. It's not a lot.
You're going to get one video that hits, and you're it's going to be like a hockey stick.
Really?
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah, I mean, they will for a little while, and then you just got to keep that momentum kind of going.
Yeah. That's all I'm trying to do is not give up.
Well, that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
It's easy to not give up.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Especially after you kind of like, you know, if you only wait a year, I would never be interviewing you. It's like, yeah, fair enough. So I'll just keep pushing.
Yeah, just keep doing it.
Yeah, because it's my second go at having a vlog, actually.
Okay.
I had one before, and it didn't pick up, and I was like, this is a lot of work for nothing. And then, again, like, my wife was the one that convinced me to do it again. She's like, don't think of it as work. Just capture some stuff so that our daughter, Gabriella, can watch it later. And I'm like, okay, as long as that's my motivation, then it's not work.
She tricked you.
Yeah, she did trick me. And now I'm like, she's like, don't worry about the numbers. And I'm just on YouTube, like, analytics, just looking at everything. Oh, man, who's watching? Where are they watching from?
Yeah, you can get really caught up.
How did they get here? What did they click to get here? Yeah.
Which related videos are very important.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that off air.
Would you say, though, that sitting here right now, you know, you're Impact Tag Team Champion, you're living your dream?
Yes, I would. And I would also admit that it's very hard for me to, like, recognize that. Mm. Yeah, because I'm, like, never happy. Like, as a person, so happy. My profession, no.
But to have this self-awareness to go, you know, this championship's mine. Josh and I won that.
Yeah. I am a big, like, I'm, like, etching my name in history, like, with as many things as I can, and that, to me, is so cool, and, like, everyone's like, what's the meaning of life? And, like, I jokingly say, like, oh, it's a video game, and we're all just trying to get a high score so that people talk about us forever.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, Albert Einstein, he won. You know what I mean? Meaning of life, nailed it. They'll be on T-shirts and be talked about forever. Like, why can't Ethan Page, you know?
When you come down here to the States, do people think you have a Canadian accent?
I get it every once in a while. I might drop like an A, but like when they start saying that I say a boot, I'm like, that's not how I talk.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. You kind of do.
Really?
A little bit.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
But it's not like, you know, it's not bad like if you were from like Sudbury or
something. Wait. Are you like Canadian shaming me?
No.
You're Canadian.
No. Here's the thing.
you do kind of sound Canadian,
I'm really sorry to tell you this. I'm really sorry.
That's what I sound like?
No, don't tell
me that.
What I'm saying is Canadians don't think they have an accent.
Yes, but I don't think anyone does.
Because I don't know. I think if you talk to someone from Texas, they're like, well, I guess I have a bit of an accent.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're aware of it. But like, and I'm not shaming you. I'm just saying, like, are you... Are you aware that people might think that you have
an
accent?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Because, like, I wrestle mostly in America. So, like, I'll get stuff like that all the time.
Yeah, which is also pretty cool that you wrestle mostly.
Yeah. I like it here a lot.
Well, there's a lot of options.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
There's a lot of wrestlers, and everywhere is different.
There's a lot of promotions, too.
Tons.
Yeah.
But in Canada, it's very, like, selective. The country's huge.
Yes.
But where the good pro wrestling is in only a couple spots.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, but that's just Canada in general. If you're not living in Toronto, Calgary,
Vancouver,
Montreal, you know, like, there's not a lot of pro wrestling going on in Medicine Hat.
It's a vast space.
Sorry, Medicine Hat. Or Moose Jaw.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I mean, there probably is pro wrestling going on.
Yeah, of course there is.
No one's watching
Moose Jaw. No, or it's just, or maybe it's not there. Like, in Toronto, there's probably a show every other weekend.
Yep.
You know.
Or every weekend.
Yeah.
Like, 30 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Like, for me, growing up in wrestling, there was an abundance of shows and, like, opportunities to wrestle for nothing and learn how to not suck. Yeah.
So this is your full-time job.
That's it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so commendable.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, I was there from watching some of your matches, I was a ring announcer for some of your matches. It's awesome being able to sit here now 10-ish years later.
Yeah. How crazy is that, though?
It's so crazy.
Yesterday I was talking to Tommy Dreamer. I was telling one of our friends a story that, like, everyone's like, oh, Tommy Dreamer loves wrestling. I'm like, you don't understand how much he loves wrestling. I'm like, this 10 years ago, I was in my early 20s, like, 19 years old. He slept on my parents' couch in my parents' house in my parents' basement watched me edit the show that he just worked.
Wow.
And was helping me, like, where the camera should go, how the hard cam should be somewhere else, and, you know, we might be able to do a little better if we like pulled this storyline a little longer or changed this guy's character. I was like, why is this guy up at 5 a.m. telling me this stuff? It's because he loves wrestling. Yeah.
But you do too.
Time flies, man. That's what that was my point. I went from, having Tommy Dreamer sleep on my parents' couch and all the way from now, like, I still run that promotion, but my main income is professional wrestling.
You were in the ring recently with Rob Van Dam. Yep. Who's been the person that when you saw it on the booking sheet, you're like, oh my God.
That was one.
Yeah.
Because I knew I had to have a talking segment with him. And at the time, Impact hadn't let me really do any mic work, especially in the ring. So that was huge for me. It was like my own little, Monday Night Raw segment with RVD, which was cool. And anytime I wrestle Billy Gunn, because again, he's like on my list, and to get to wrestle guys like that are still like active is amazing.
And you recently worked former WCW champion David Arquette.
Yes, I did. And it was awesome.
Yeah.
Check that out. It's on IWTV.live, and you can actually get 20 days for free if you use promo code Alpha1, ALPHA, and the number one.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've been trying really hard to get him on this show.
Really?
And we just haven't been in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, okay.
I texted him. I said, hey, I'm in LA this weekend. And he's not here.
Yeah.
So.
He's a busy guy. He's filming TV shows in Canada.
Well, he's David Arquette.
Well, yeah.
And he's still like working and traveling as an indie wrestler.
Which is insane to me. Like when I wrestled him, I did like a little post-match speech. Pretty much saying like everyone's kind of giving him a hard time that he's in wrestling. I think it's like ignorant of us to give him a hard time when he's bringing so much like awareness from everyday people to wrestling events that might not go. That's good for us, like as wrestlers. You don't want to like change those people into paying customers. I don't know.
He's a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every wrestler, every person sitting in the audience is a fan too.
Yes.
He's just living the dream.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not his fault he became a famous movie star and he still loves wrestling, you know? Like
shame on
you. Shame on you for keeping your hobbies.
I don't know if we've plugged your vlog enough, but we'll plug it one more time.
Hell yeah.
The link is below.
Thanks.
Subscribe. Also, if you're watching this and you don't subscribe to my channel yet, I'm just...
Why do people do that? That is my wife's number one pet peeve. Why are people watching and they're not clicking? I'm like, I don't know. Figure it out.
It's the wildest thing. Yeah. Like, you'll get a video that gets like a million views, and then you'll look at the subscriber.
Oh, yeah, you do? Oh, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I got a couple of those, 20 or 30, I don't know. But then you'll look and you got like, 1,000 subscribers from it. It's like, but what about the other 999,000 people? Uh-huh.
Yeah. You just got to earn their trust.
I guess so.
Yeah.
To everyone that does subscribe and has been there, since 2011 or maybe since the start of this year, thank you.
And anyone that is willing to watch my weekly vlog where I take you backstage and give you all the secrets of professional wrestling, you're all going to watch now. Thank you.
It's like, remember that show on Fox? It was Magic Secret Revealed.
Yeah.
That's
what
this is.
It's that. I just pulled a curtain back and you see everything.
I guess they had wrestling secrets revealed too.
They did,
yeah.
But well, didn't people have their like voices muffled and stuff? It was so bad. I don't hide my face. I break kayfabe in public.
I think we'll end with that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Ethan Page, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, famous Speedo fighter.
There it is, famous Speedo fighter. Ethan said when he put that phrase on a shirt, it actually made a lot of people upset. I think you people need to lighten up. Thanks to Ethan for finding the time to do this interview. I'm seriously so proud of everything he's accomplished, everything he's continuing to accomplish. And if you enjoyed this, please share it with someone who might enjoy it as well. Tweet it out, put it on Instagram, tag me at Chris Van Vliet, tag Ethan. Let us know what you thought. And I know that we talked a lot about, the link's below this video. Well, obviously, you're not watching this, you're listening to it because it's a podcast, but search Ethan Page on Instagram and give him a follow on there. Thank you to our sponsors, Sports Information Traders. Go to sportsinformationtraders.com/blue for the college football and NFL future plays for just $99. Thank you to Green Roads. Head over to greenroadsworld.com. Use the code CHRIS15 for 15% off your order of CBD products. Also, thank you to Samson Technologies for making us sound great with this great audio equipment. So this was interview 3 of 4 that I did in Los Angeles at the Impact Wrestling tapings. I've already posted Brian Cage and Jimmy Jacobs, And keep an eye out soon for the interview that I did with Melissa Santos. We've got many more interviews on the way here. And I'm going to leave you with some powerful words. I like these quotes. You guys have been reacting to these quotes. You seem to like them as much as I do. So I'm going to keep leaving you with them. This one's from Bob Proctor. Some powerful words. And he says, quote, "You are the only problem you will ever have. And you are the only solution." That's a deep one. That's a deep cut right there. Make it a great day.